the AW101 will be built by Boeing. Korea's first civil aircraft will have an Avadyne panel. And Canada gets its first new C-130J. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 8th, 2010. Boeing will license production rights for the Augusta Westland AW101 medium lift helicopter and plans to offer its own version of the proven craft in the U.S. Navy VXX Presidential Helicopter Contract Competition. The result will be a Boeing aircraft built by Boeing personnel at one of its U.S. facilities. The company says it will submit information in response to the Navy's current request for information by the June 18th deadline. Boeing VP and Rotorcraft Systems GM Phil Dunford predicts, quote, "As a leading original equipment manufacturer in the military helicopter market, and with our nearly 50 years of experience in presidential transport, we believe we are uniquely positioned to make the most of the Navy's significant investment in this aircraft," unquote. The two companies have collaborated successfully in the past. Augusta Westland has manufactured both the AH-64 Apache in the UK and the CH-47 in Italy under license from Boeing. Augusta Westland is a division of Italy's Finmeccanica. EADS management couldn't help but comment on the collaboration, noting Boeing's acknowledgement of the contribution international teams make to U.S. national security. Quote, "For several years, Boeing and its allies have been harshly critical of the participation of EADS North America in the KCX tanker competition. With this announcement, we now expect Boeing to cease its shrill rhetoric and finally allow the KCX competition to focus on the merits of the tanker offerings," unquote. Korea Aerospace Industries is working on the first certified civil aircraft produced completely by Korea. It will be a four-seat, composite, piston-engine plane with FADEC and what are described as state-of-the-art integrated safety systems, and the panel will be the Avadyne Integra Release 9. The selection was announced by Avadyne CEO Dan Schwinn. Quote, "KAI is intent on building a very safe, high-performance aircraft, and their selection of Avadyne for an avionics suite validates once again that our certified next-generation Integra system is the most capable and safest integrated flight deck in the industry," unquote. Samuel Dinar, VP of Corporate Development for Avadyne, predicts KAI will become a major player in the civil aircraft market and adds, quote, "We are very pleased and flattered by the fact that we were selected not only for our technical product differentiation, but also for Avadyne's corporate experience in working successfully with OEM strategic partners to develop, integrate, and certify highly integrated general aviation aircraft," unquote. Canada formally accepted the first of 17 Lockheed Martin C-130J Super Hercules aircraft Friday at ceremonies both in suburban Atlanta, Georgia, and at Canadian Forces Base Trenton. Canada finalized its CC-130J contract with Lockheed in December of 2007, with a subsequent agreement from the U.S. Air Force to ensure an early delivery of the first two. The rest will be delivered by the end of 2012. Canada calls the plane the CC-130J. It's a stretched configuration of the C-130J, with other specs similar to versions used worldwide. Peter MacKay, the Canadian Minister of National Defense, noted also that 2010 is the 50th anniversary of the first CC-130. Quote, "I am proud to mark this milestone by welcoming the J-model Hercules into our fleet, on budget and on schedule, ensuring the Canadian forces have the equipment it needs to be a modern, multi-role force able to take on the challenges of the 21st century," unquote. Lockheed Martin recently announced a team of Canadian companies that will provide maintenance and support, meeting its obligations under Canada's industrial benefits provisions. Up next on ANN, two flights out of Charlotte are canceled after the plane's bump on the ground. A city in Maine is found not liable in a crash lawsuit. And Blue, for sure. Virgin, not so much. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 8th. I'm Paul Platt. Two U.S. Airways flights out of Charlotte were canceled Saturday after both aircraft suffered minor damage in what's being described as a bumping incident. The airline says the damage was minor and cancellations were a precaution. The wing of one plane reportedly hit the rudder of the other. There were no injuries reported. WSOC-TV reports that 450 travelers had their travel plans affected. Those on a domestic flight to San Francisco were placed on later flights, while about 280 headed for Frankfurt, Germany were put up in a hotel near the airport and given food vouchers by the airline and rebooked for a flight out on Sunday. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court has ruled that the city of Lewiston is immune from a lawsuit stemming from an airplane accident in which three high school students were fatally injured. The accident occurred in 2006 during a summer camp for students in the Lewiston High School Junior ROTC program. The three students were participating in an orientation flight when the plane hit Barker Mountain, killing the students and the pilot. The NTSB determined the probable cause of the accident was pilot error, and another student who had flown with the pilot said he had a history of showing off and performing dangerous maneuvers. Maine Public Broadcasting reports that the families of the students reached settlements with Twin Cities Air Services, which owned the airplane and provided the pilot. They had also filed a wrongful death suit against the school district and the city, and a Superior Court judge ruled last year that the city was not immune from the suit, despite a Maine law protecting government entities from liability for the actions of independent contractors. In this appeal, the Supreme Court's 4-3 decision agrees with the city of Lewiston that it is immune under the Tort Claims Act. Pornography on office computers and addiction among employees is a growing issue worldwide. Sources requesting anonymity tell the Sydney Morning Herald that Virgin Blue Airlines in Australia warned 20 of its managers and staff at least once each about breaching the company's code of conduct by viewing and distributing porn from work, but they apparently couldn't stop themselves. All have now been fired. Airline spokeswoman Danielle Carey told the newspaper, quote, "We absolutely do not tolerate any misconduct," unquote, but then had to temper that statement with an admission that as many as 40 people had been investigated, but the company had to keep some of them on because they couldn't replace them fast enough. Still ahead, is it still a sailplane if it's jet-powered? The Subsonics will sit quietly in the hangar for a while, and this guy says the brightest are not always the best. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 8th. I'm Paul Plack. If jet-powered sailplane sounds like an oxymoron to you, this may take some getting used to. Desert Aerospace of Albuquerque, New Mexico says it has completed certification tests on a new two-seat self-launching sailplane. It's called the Bonus Jet, and the company says you'll be able to see it at Oshkosh. The plane marries the Czech-built TST-14 Bonus Glider with a TJ-100 jet engine manufactured by a company called PBS, which is also in the Czech Republic. Desert Aerospace says the start sequence is fully automatic and can be performed in flight, requiring only the flick of a switch by the pilot, reducing cockpit workload during critical low-save situations while soaring. As for the oxymoron part, Desert Airspace test pilot Bob Carlton says not at all. Quote, "The jet engine makes perfect sense for a self-launching sailplane or other light aircraft. It's small, lightweight, and simple. It's also glass smooth when running, eliminating the component and airframe damage caused by engine vibration," unquote. The company says it also plans other small jet-powered aircraft, including other sailplane conversions and what's termed an XLJ, or extremely light jet, as a kit for the home-built market. The extremely light jet that was all the buzz at AirVenture in 2009, the Subsonics, is on hold after the prototype that both wowed and amused visitors came down short of the runway in the grass at Oshkosh last week. The FAA's initial report, dated June 4th, lists no injuries and damage is minor, but a statement on the Sonics website suggests it'll be parked for a while to devote the requisite attention to readying the E-Flight electric aircraft and the 1X single-engine piston model. Sonics says further statements on those programs will be coming soon. Of the quirky subsonics single-seat jet, the company says, quote, "Through the course of a series of high-speed taxi tests in recent months, the design team has identified some issues with the controllability of the aircraft in the transition phase approaching takeoff speeds, and has decided to enter a thorough design review process aimed at making the aircraft easier to handle for the average recreational pilot. This may represent a significant delay in progress for the subsonics, as higher Hornet's Nest research and development priorities take precedence," unquote. And finally, during the recession, aerospace workforces and management teams have been thinned, and you might assume that only the best and brightest remain in their jobs. But Steve Rossler, who writes a blog called All Things Workplace, says that in his experience, the brightest people sometimes don't fit in and find themselves out of work when employees with less talent but more heart manage to stay. Quote, "Some combination of unwillingness and inability to adapt to the needs of others ultimately becomes organizationally untenable. The person has to go. There are plenty of college grads out there who have managed to absorb a particular body of knowledge. You want to land the ones who want to learn how to use that knowledge in the service of those around them. A well-bred head lights up a single office. A smart heart lights up the organization," unquote. Boy, I sure hope this news doesn't discourage the folks in the Mensa placement office. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the first of three parts, an excited SpaceX CEO, Elon Musk, holds his first press conference after Friday's successful first launch of the Falcon 9 rocket. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.